Michael Casey, it's the Boulder International Film Festival, but first, let's talk a little bit about the latest reboot of a DC classic, The Batman.
Yeah, the big movie this week is definitely The Batman. This is Warner Brothers' latest iteration of the Batman comic book movies. The Caped Crusader is played by Robert Pattinson, and it is directed by Matt Reeves, who most people probably know his work for the latest update of the Planet of the Apes trilogy. And here they work really, really well. I will say that one of the best parts of this movie is that Pattinson and Reeves seem to be on the same page. This is a very dark, very moody approach to Batman. Obviously, we've been looking at Batmans like this for a long time now. If you watched the Batman show from back in the 60s, it was this high camp kind of style. It was very colorful. It was a lot of fun, a lot of puns. And some of that kind of made its way into like the later 90s and the early 2000s as we had like the Joel Schumacher Batmans with like George Clooney, even a little bit with Val Kilmer. But then Christopher Nolan got his hands on it in the early 2000s, and that you got a lot of people called the gritty Batman. And he's been very, very gritty ever since. But this movie kind of takes that same aesthetic and brings it into a little bit more of a believable world. It's almost as if Matt Reeves and his cinematographer, Greg Fraser, smuggled like an Edward Hopper painting into a 21st century comic book movie. It is very dark. It is very rain-soaked. It rains constantly. It is a very trashy place. Gotham City looks like it's just a broken city. There is just rampant drug use, crime. Everything's just kind of falling apart. And Batman's trying to like piece things together as best as he can, but he realizes that he's not exactly working above board. He is a mass vigilante. But what's really interesting, I think, that Pattinson does with the Batman role is that he plays Batman as like the character and Bruce Wayne as his alter ego. So when he's in the cowl, when he's in the outfit, he talks to pretty much everyone very casually with his Batman voice, but he has conversations with other people. When he has the mask off and he's Bruce Wayne, he looks like a really broken individual. He looks like this stringy-haired, sunken-eyed kind of emo kid, which is, I think, what they're really trying to go for here is this idea that at a certain point, the mask that you wear ends up becoming who you are. And he's been Batman for so long at this point that he's just Batman now. He's no longer this rich Bruce Wayne guy. One of the best things I like about this movie is that there is no flashback to Batman's origin. There's none of this rehashing of how the Batman became the Batman. You just kind of get dropped it. Everyone at this point knows where this character is coming from, what's going on. And I think it works. What I don't think works is that this is a 3-hour movie and there is a lot of story, because anytime you've got a comic book movie this long, it's because they've got so many characters to get through, so many storylines to get through, so many Easter eggs to touch on. And like half of this movie is really compelling. There's another half of this movie that tries to intersect, and this is brought together by the villain of the piece, the Riddler, played by the actor Paul Dano. And it kind of works if you squint hard enough, but the problem with that is that you do lose a lot of characters from large sections of this movie. This one is definitely a lot better than those Marvel Cinematic Universes one, because it does feel more contained. It's just a shame that it wasn't just a little bit more contained. But that is The Batman. It is out now in wide release. Go see it.
And also, the Boulder International Film Festival is kicking off, and there are some great films folks will not want to miss.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on this weekend. It's all taking place in Boulder County. There are some screenings up at Longmont, but most of them are happening downtown Boulder in a variety of venues that you can look up all the stuff. You can look up online. It is biff1.com. They have the schedule. They have the tickets. They have all the information you want to know about any COVID protocols that are going on. And they have all the links to all the programming. This is the first year that they have a guest programmer. Alec Baldwin is in town. He's selected 3 movies to talk about. And it's always interesting when people like give recommendations. Like, obviously, that's what you're listening to this, is you want to hear some people talk about what movies to go see. It's really interesting when someone who's devoted their entire life to the craft of film points out a few movies that you can't miss. And one of them is definitely one that is more prescient by the minute, and it is Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. This is Stanley Kubrick's 1964 Cold War satire that is probably one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And it's always kind of in that gallows humor, but it is much more gallows these days. That will be playing at the Boulder Theater on Saturday, March 5th, 8:15 p.m. Like I said, all of that all the showing information you can find online. The other movies he's picked are The Most Dangerous Man in America, which is the story of Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers, which is fascinating. The documentary won a Peabody a few years ago. And then the latest documentary about Julia Child, simply called Julia, which is just about an hour and a half, just pleasant. Well, I mean, that's time well spent right there. A couple of other ones I want to put on your radar. They're a little smaller, so I don't want you to miss them. This one is After Love. This is a film from the UK. This is a mystery film in a way. It's a very quiet mystery film about a middle-aged woman who loses her husband and discovers after that she loses her husband that he lived a secret life that she was completely unaware of. And that secret life actually impacts the life that she's taken on. She is a convert to Islam. And it's the way that the director, Aleem Khan, can kind of pull out the thread of this story is really good. It's really compelling stuff. But the real reason you want to watch this one is because Joanne Scanlon, who is the lead actress here, is spectacular. This is a very engaging movie, but it's a little on the sad side. But you go with her because there's this tinge of hope, that there's this tinge of discovery to it, that as she's discovering things about her husband, she's discovering things about herself. And it doesn't leave you in this moment of despair at all. It's actually very uplifting. I loved it so much. You should definitely check that one out. That will be playing Saturday, March 5th at 7:45 at Century Boulder. If you're looking for a good documentary, this one is called Exposing Muybridge. Edward Muybridge is kind of the father of the moving image. He was a photographer in the 19th century who took a bet from Leland Stanford about if a horse at full gallop picks up all four of its legs. They wanted to figure out if that was possible. Obviously, at that point, photography hadn't advanced where they could take a snapshot that fast to see a horse in full gallop. And so Stanford pulled on Muybridge to figure out a way to do it. He invented this very elaborate system. And what he took is a series of shots. And those series of shots of the horse in full gallop, if moved very rapidly in succession, gave the illusion of a horse in full gallop. It is essentially the first moving picture. That part is, I think, fairly well known. A lot. That's kind of one of those stories that gets passed around a lot about the bet, about the horse, about the accidental discovery of motion pictures. What's fascinating is that Muybridge, his story is so much more than that exact moment, that it's a rabbit hole to go down. So this is definitely for fans of photography. This is definitely for fans of like early cinema history, but it is also for fans of just like this trying to discover who a person was at this time in which we don't have a whole lot of records. And we have just this battery of historians telling us about how they figured out how these things work. It's fantastic. You should definitely check that out. That will be playing Sunday, March 6th at 7:30 at E-Town Hall. Another documentary, this one I actually saw at Telluride. It was really charming. This is a quick one. This is only 80 minutes. It's called The Automat. Automats, specifically Horn and Hart's Automats, were a huge institution for dining back at the turn of the 20th century that we don't have anymore. And that the documentary gets into why that is. But just to talk about people reminiscing about what Horn and Hart's meant, not just for themselves, but for the American way of life at this time, it's wonderful. I really wish that we still had Automats after watching this movie. And I think you will too. Lisa Hurwitz is the director here, and she does such a great job of melding together anecdote and history and archival footage. And Mel Brooks sings a song, but he also gives a lot of anecdotes. And anytime you've got Mel Brooks at the helm, you're in for a good time. That one you can also watch on Sunday, March 6th at 3 p.m. at E-Town Hall, or Saturday, March 5th at 3 p.m. at Stewart Auditorium in Longmont. There are a ton of good movies, features, shorts, narratives, nonfiction, docs, all that good stuff that are playing this weekend at the Boulder International Film Festival. I think you should check it out and go have yourself a good time. We're returning to a level of normalcy that we haven't had in a couple of years. Let's celebrate with a movie.
Well, Michael Casey, for more information about you and for your reviews and more extensive coverage of the Boulder International Film Festival, where can people go?
Go to boulderweekly.com. It's online worldwide. If you're checking out the festival, go ahead and pick up a Boulder Weekly. It's on stands all around town. Read about even more stuff about the Boulder International Film Festival. If you want to read more about the Batman, I go a little bit more in depth at my other website, michaeljcinema.com, where not only will you find reviews of Batman, but just years worth of reviews, things that are streaming, and a lot of Oscar coverage, because that's what we're coming up to. That's at michaeljcinema.com.